Good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Thomas versus State of Nebraska. Mr. Powers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice. Justices, my name is Vince Powers. I and Elizabeth Govarts represent the plaintiff and the appellant in this action, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. We're here today because Tyler Thomas deserves a trial. The college here acted negligently, and AW versus Lancaster County School District, when you adopted in 2010 the restatement of torts, means based on these facts, we get a trial. We have to, as you said, if a person does not exercise reasonable care under all of the circumstances, then they're negligent. Here, and I'm going to go through some of the facts. This is a fact-intensive case. The most egregious facts that you're probably going to hear from a college campus anywhere in America. And at this point, all of the inferences that come go to the non-moving party. Joshua Keitel, a 29-year-old man, is admitted to Peru State College. He's put on academic probation. He signs a contract. He immediately violates it. Could have been kicked out of school for that. Instead, that was ignored. He works for this women's basketball team. He immediately becomes a suspect. Within a few weeks of being on campus, he becomes a suspect in a laptop computer theft. Les Stonebarger, who woke up every day for over 10 years with one job, which was to make certain the students at Peru State College were not harmed. Their expert, because he was director of security and housing, he underwent an investigation, and he found what we now refer to as the Conn's email, where there's an email putting the defendant on notice that Keitel had at least a criminal record that it said he'd been charged with forcible fondling, parentheses, rape. He's put on notice. Stonebarger thinks this is not a man who should be around young women on the basketball team. So he starts talking to the university. And by the way, as much as the defendant tries to act like Stonebarger is somehow a third party, he's their employee. Everything Stonebarger knew, they knew. So in the course of this investigation, Steve Schneider, the athletic director, he himself investigates. He calls Midlands College, and he does something extraordinary that employers do not do. He says not only to the basketball coach, not only can Joshua Keitel not work for us, you must tell all of the students under your supervision and under my supervision to not have any contact with him. What employer does that? You turn somebody down and you don't say, oh, by the way, we're not hiring so-and-so as a law clerk, but make sure all the other law clerks know to stay away from that person. He then, and there are two things that go on. He never goes to class. By October, of course, we know that he can't graduate. He can't pass any of his classes. But he then, 29 years old, they house him next to teenage girls. Teenage girls who he sexually harasses. He's charged with two sexual harassments. He admits to one, so he's found guilty of one. The other, they have a sham hearing, and so he's found not guilty. Then, this incredible fact, he's then given a sanction to do. But before we get to the sanction, Stonebarger emails Willis, actually goes face-to-face and says, look, we got the Conn's email. Kick him out of the dorms. Why? Because Stonebarger is a reasonable person and thinks a 29-year-old man who's sexually harassing his own staff, resident assistants, should not be housed next to young women. Not only do they ignore him, in 27 minutes after he sends an email, kick him out, they say no. The vice president says, Willis says, well, we'll just keep an eye on him. They give him a sanction. He ignores the sanction. Every judge in America knows if you put somebody on probation and they don't do anything, you enable them, as the defendant's own expert said. So not only does he not do anything, so by October, his faculty advisor is saying to one of the defendant's employees, why is this guy in school? And she says, he has no place else to go. He has no money. And this is where the defendant and I have a serious difference, and I guess this court will decide. I think Peru State College is a college. His faculty advisor says, to another faculty person, are we running an open-door mission here? Answer, yeah, I guess we are. So now he's not done anything. He's not going to class. The next thing he does, and there's no investigation. Had they investigated, had they talked to the young women who had to live every day next to this person, they would have found that he always referred to women as bitches. He called my client's daughter a bitch all the time. He used the C word in his racist phrases towards women of color. But they never asked, so they say, well, gosh, we can't be held responsible. Is that a reasonable circumstance to not ask? He then commits a felony. He kicks down the door of his own dorm. Stonebarger says, hey, you got to meet with me. He misses that meeting. Now Stonebarger, they had activated the care team back in September. 6 weeks later, and they said, get him out of the dorm. 6 weeks later, Stonebarger and Big Bingham, his assistant, say, kick this guy out of school. And they ignore it.
So what did the trial court judge say was the problem with your case at summary judgment?
Well, the trial court judge ignored what I just said. The trial court did not deal with the fact that their expert said, kick him out of college. What the trial court did ignored that fact. I mean, it's like, I couldn't imagine, it's like ignoring the eyewitness to an automobile collision case. Well, we don't care that your witness said the other guy who rode the red, ran the red light. We're just going to ignore that.
Did the trial judge make an error of law?
The trial court made, yes, the error of law. He did not use AW. AW says, as you have said, and I want to answer Chief Justice's question, he said, and we disagree, he said it was not foreseeable that this could happen. That's not for him to make it at summary judgment level.
How does foreseeability play with the AW opinion?
Well, the extent of foreseeable risk depends on the specific facts of each case. Courts should leave such determination to the trier of fact unless no reasonable person could differ.
Let's back up a little. Did the trial court say there was a duty from the defendant to the plaintiff?
Judge, I can't tell you for certain. I know that what the trial court...
What do you think the law is that's applicable? Is there a duty? Let's start at the top.
Sure,
the
absolutely.
Stream.
Absolutely. It's a school. In the Sharkey case, there was a duty to the University of Nebraska. In the Knoll case, a duty. I think the judge found a duty, but he ignored the fact that my client was abducted from campus. He said, well, since she was murdered down at the river, it didn't count. The abduction...
Is the trial judge saying even if there's a duty because the ultimate events were off campus, that's determinative?
That was my sense of what he said.
Where is the source of the duty?
The source of the duty is it's the college. If we look at the restatement that's in my brief, there's a special duty that a college has to its students.
Have we adopted that section
Yes.
of the restatement third?
I believe you did in Knoll, but I can't. I know that Knoll adopted
Knoll was
a special duty.
AW.
Correct, but AW really went to the foreseeability issue, Your Honor, because before there had.
I'm still back here on duty.
I know, but AW, Knoll establishes the duty. Sharkey and Knoll. And Sharkey said you don't even have to see that this person would be violent. What the judge also said.
That's the invitee?
Right.
The invitee is not the same as special relationship, is it?
Well, yeah, here it's easier to have a duty because you're a college, you're paying tuition. But, Your Honor, the other thing I want to get, the other error I believe the judge found was that it was not foreseeable that there would be a rape and a murder. And so, in other words, what they're saying is, and you can kind of see it on a certain level. Because this crime was so egregious, the college gets a free pass. Had she just been beat up, probably would have ruled in our favor, it sounds like. But what AW says in foreseeability is not the degree of the harm, it's that there will be a harm. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Krause, good morning to you.
Good morning. Mr. Chief Justice, Your Honors, may it please the Court. I'm Ryan Krause. I'm here on behalf of the Board of Trustees of Nebraska State Colleges. Judge Bryan was correct in granting summary judgment to Peru State College in this case, and he was for a variety of reasons. I'd like to talk about four of them to the extent that your questions allow that today. You have to prove, as one of the justices has noted, duty, breach, damages, and causation. And as to duty, Judge Bryan found no evidence exists that any part of the physical violence or crime by the third party that the plaintiffs propose occurred here occurred on this campus or in any way under the control of Peru State College.
At the time of the occurrence, was the person still living next door to the alleged deceased?
I believe they were still in adjoining dormitories. This was a co-ed dorm. I've heard time and time again that this is a teenage girl and a 29-year-old man. In co-ed dorms today in this country, under the Constitution, if you're a 45-year-old woman, you can live next door to 18-year-old men and vice versa.
Certain universities do when one of their students has allegedly committed crimes or other aspects involving...
What they do, or what I would hope they would do...
Ban them from campus?
What I would hope they would do, Judge, is exactly what Peru State did in this case. Mr. Powers mentioned this Cohn's email, which Mr. Stonebarger admits was never passed along to the administrators that would make the decision.
Is that a fact in dispute?
No. No, I assume that that's admitted. It was admitted by Mr. Stonebarger.
Did Mr. Stonebarger say that she had heard of it?
Yeah, Ms. Willis, our doctor that made the decision, our vice president, in fact, she denies that that information was passed along, even verbally, which is what Mr. Stonebarger claims.
That's an issue of fact.
No, it's not an issue of fact, Your Honor, because in this case, Ms. Willis says, as a matter of fact, had she known that, it would not have changed her determination in this case. Because what happened is when Mr. Stonebarger came to them, what he said was, well, you need to look further. What they did here, and what I would hope any college would do, Judge, when they hear of allegations of any sort about a student, is they did an ADP background check, which is exactly the kind of background check that you would do with respect to personnel or prospective personnel that wanted to work in a daycare center. And that includes the National Sex Offender Registry. That came up with nothing. Then we have the Cohn's information, which is in pertinent part that there was an allegation of a, quote, forcible fondling charge, which was dropped. That email, at least, also mentioned burglary and robbery. That was on September 12th. What did the college do when they were told to look further? They then looked at the recommendation of the county sheriff, is my understanding, at the justice website, which lists all criminal prosecutions in the state of Nebraska, and supposedly those things had all occurred within the state of Nebraska. They came up with no robberies, no burglaries, of course, no drop charge of fondling. They came up with a misdemeanor theft count, and they came up with some minor traffic offenses. Then, as Mr. Powers mentioned, we also had our athletic director call because he was interested in, actually Keitel was, in working as a strength coach at the college at that time. Our athletic director, also checked with his counterpart at Midlands College. And all he was told was, well, no, I wouldn't hire him to be a part of the faculty and staff. But there was no other significant information given.
Someone told that under no circumstances should this person be allowed to be around women?
Well, what we have at that point, Judge, is we have information regarding a charge which was dropped and never pursued. And the only other thing we have, by the way, after September, that was September 12th. We check that out on the 17th. We find nothing. The only other thing we have, and this is all within the month of September, are the two complaints by students at the college of verbal, non-physical, non-intimidating sexual harassment. One of those, there was never a finding of guilty here. One of those Keitel pled responsible to. He was given a sanction. Mr. Powers will tell you he had not done it yet. His account, because he hadn't done it, was frozen. He was not going to get beyond the first semester. The first semester ended December 10th. Unfortunately, this disappearance occurred on December 3rd. The second complaint of sexual harassment, there was a full-blown hearing on, and I made certain that the court would have in the record before it the audio tape of that hearing. At that hearing, which was presided over by Dr. Judy Grotrian of our faculty, both the complainant and Keitel appeared. They testified. In the course of that hearing, the complainant apologized to Keitel. Keitel apologized to the complainant. The complainant said that when I asked him to stop, he stopped. I never wanted this complaint to go this far to an actual hearing setting. And she said, in no way was I ever threatened or intimidated.
Let me interrupt you and ask, what do you think the duty is here between the parties, if any?
The duty has been spelled out by this court, actually, Your Honor, in the Starkey case. And the Starkey case, of course, was at UNO, and it involved an actual stabbing while a security member from the college was standing there watching the altercation. The court held there that the colleges and universities do indeed have a duty to take reasonable steps to protect students from foreseeable acts of violence on its campus and the harm that naturally flows therefrom. That's the duty. When we get to foreseeability and we get to the AW.
Mr. Powers puts an emphasis on AW and the restatement
absolutely.
Third. So
you bet.
Is there a special relationship under the restatement third between the parties?
As I just defined it, as defined by this court, yes, there is. To take reasonable care to protect their students on their campus and from things that would reasonably flow from that campus. Here,
well,
they survive.
Is on the on the campus a crucial phrase there, or?
I think both on the campus and things under the control of the campus, the college. The Knoll case involved
the trial judge here seemed to put some emphasis on geography that
he
whatever happened
did.
Didn't happen on the campus. Is that
he absolutely did, and I think rightfully so.
Counsel, the opposing side, though, in their briefs, I think it was their reply brief or something I read, said that, well, that may be true that nothing actually harmful happened on the campus, but she was removed from the campus. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, actually, the reason, Your Honor, that they were allowed to survive a motion to dismiss on their fifth amended complaint in this case was there was a specific allegation that Ms. Thomas was abducted from the campus, forcibly taken against her will. And in fact, the judge, Brian, allowed it to proceed on the basis primarily of that allegation.
Counsel,
we went another year and a half, and on the basis of the evidence in front of the court, there was never any evidence of any forcible taking of any use of violence on this campus. And in fact, the only evidence we have on that point, if we're going to listen to inadmissible hearsay of Keitel himself.
Is he unavailable?
I don't believe there was a finding in the court below as to unavailability. That was not the principal point that I objected to his testimony on the basis of.
In the federal case, he was declared unavailable.
I don't believe he was.
Counsel, I understand Mr. Powers' argument to be that the proximate cause of the death was the fact that the student, Mr. Keitel, was allowed to remain on campus, wasn't kicked out of college.
Absolutely.
If that is the allegation of negligence, why does the location of the crime matter?
The location of the crime is, well, first of all, to address causation directly, what's the most the college could have done here? Assuming a duty, assuming foreseeability, which, by the way, Judge Bryan acknowledged the AW case three times, specifically held that AW still allows room where there is no room for a reasonable dispute between reasonable jurors as to foreseeability.
Did the defendants owe a duty of reasonable care?
Yes, absolutely, to keep students reasonably protected within the confines of their campus from violent acts.
What's the risk that you think is involved in this case, the scope of the risk?
Based on what the college knew before December 3rd of 2010, I would say the most serious risk there was here, Your Honor, that there would be another crude, boorish, verbal come-on to another co-ed. And I think that's probably the most serious thing that any reasonable person could have anticipated on the part of the college here.
Counsel, before you sit down, one of the arguments that you raise in your brief is issue preclusion.
Yes.
Is that an affirmative defense? Under our pleadings rules, is it an affirmative defense
that needs
to be pled? It probably is,
Your Honor, but I would plead there the timing of that. Judge Girard, who, by the way, was the author on behalf of this court of the AW decision and who is very familiar with the foreseeability holdings in that case, Judge Girard had that case. He granted us summary judgment in the Title IX, the federal version of this litigation.
My question doesn't pertain to whether issue preclusion applies in this case. It's whether it was pled.
It wasn't pled.
Did you allege it as an affirmative defense?
It was not pled, Your Honor, because that decision came down actually right before the oral argument in front of Judge Bryan and after the motion for summary judgment had been filed in the state case.
What happened?
There was no opportunity to plead.
What happened to the negligence allegations in the federal case?
There were none. It was strictly a Title IX case, which requires a showing of deliberate indifference, but foreseeability is very much the same consideration. And those are the quotes that we offer in our brief from Judge
Girard. So when Judge Girard says, I'll retain supplemental jurisdiction of the negligence clause, what is he referring to?
I'm not sure I know what he's referring to, Judge. I think he retained jurisdiction over Keitel because that portion of it remained after summary judgment was granted. I think he certainly could have taken the negligence allegation. I don't believe there was any in the federal action. Any other questions, Your Honor? Thank you.
Thank you very much. How much time do we have for rebuttal?
1 minute and 4 seconds.
1 minute and 4 seconds.
They stipulated that Keitel was unavailable in the federal case. We had the same thing going in the state case. The residual hearsay exception.
Is there a stipulation that he's unavailable in the state?
I had filed the motion, and I'd have to look at the record to see if in the state case, but that wasn't the issue. The residual hearsay obviously applies here in the interest of justice. There was taken off campus two things. One, this campus was his hunting ground. His actions in just 2 short months, he continued to escalate his behavior. 29-year-old guy, not going to class, ends up committing a felony, still blows off security. They ignore security. Their own recommendation, he'd be kicked off campus.
Counsel, you mentioned the residual hearsay exception. Did the judge in this case make the sort of rulings that a trial judge needs to make with respect to that exception?
No, he did. We really didn't. It really wasn't an issue here until it was raised in their brief.
Can we tell from the order whether the judge even received those exhibits?
They were all received. Whether or not he considered them, I don't think you'll be able to tell, but I do very quickly want
so
to talk.
In his order, he said, I just looked at the good stuff.
Well, right? I don't know. I'm saying, though, but Keitel said, this. Not only she was snatched from campus, Keitel said, when you find her body, the bruises will be on her wrists and her forearms. The logical inference from that fact is he snatched her. In the evidence, her friend said she hated him. They fought. He was always calling her a bitch. That's the inference. This young woman deserves a day in court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will go on to the next case of the day, which is Bodner versus Bodner.